At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she did not know that her boyfriend's house was haunted. That is until she heard the children running up and down the stairs, children which her boyfriend had none of.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Is there anything quite as creepy as the sound of ghost children off in the distance, and you can't quite identify who or where they are? That's just a weird one.
I was just going to ask you, like, I think one of the spookiest things, because children are supposed to be very innocent, right? And sweet mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then you hear stories about the deranged child or, you know, they're with the black eyes, or, you know, kids with the black eyes yeah. and all that stuff coming to your door. Mm-hmm. I just think something about like a creepy kid is the ultimate scary thing. And I think of the movie and the books, Pet Sematary, where they bury the young child who got hit by a truck, and they bury him to bring him back, and he comes back and he's evil.
Mm-hmm.
And that little kid, I think his name is Gage, mm-hmm. Like nightmares about this crazy kid. Because again, you want kids to be sweet and lovable and innocent, but they're pure evil.
Yeah. And they are when they're not possessed by the devil either. The children are just evil in general. That's how I felt when I was a kid growing up with them. They're like, the kids are evil. Get them away from me. But no, I mean, that's always a creepy thing. Have you ever had a situation where you were investigating or just in a location that you believed was haunted and you heard what sounded like children?
Yeah. I mean, in the station that we worked mm-hmm. at together, I would always, it felt like children running up and down the hall, playing. And then at my house, the house that I lived here in Oshkosh, that eventually I realized had something going on, I would hear random children's laughter in the house. And of course, I do not have children.
Mm-hmm.
So there'd be no reason for me to hear one in my living room down the hall.
Did you ever do any research into where those children may have come from?
Well, I had like a psychic person come into my house in Oshkosh, because I kind of opened the door doing an investigation yep. and some stuff started to happen. And this individual said that it was not the spirit of a child. It was actually a trickster energy trying to trick me into believing it was innocent. So I don't know what the hell it was. I sold the house. I'll just put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Did you put it on the listing? Was it on the MLS?
I didn't say a word about it.
There's somebody listening right now going, I know who that was. Oh, yep, my exactly. gosh. No, that's, I can't say I've ever really dealt with that. Even at the radio station, I had weird things, but never had the sound of children doing anything. But, and I'm kind of glad about that, because I don't know how many high school sports games you would have had me board hopping back in the day. Had there been that going on, that would have been a bit much, I think.
And that's exactly when it happened. Well, I'd be board hopping a game at night,
really?
Only one in the building, and that hallway on the sunny 97 side,
yeah,
where the floor was just a little spongy, so you knew somebody was walking down the hall. I would hear it,
yeah,
and I would feel it all the time.
I would hear the going up and down of the hall, of the spongy floor. I remember that, but I never had a child presence. I once thought our news director had come and gone because I heard keys and paper moving around, and that's the logical person that would have been doing that. But I've never had the kid thing. I've heard typing. The phones would always be acting weird. Like, there would be all the lines into the sales area that would be like lit up and solid and like someone was on them at all hours when there was nobody in the building. Those are some of the weird things I had. But the children,
I had a microwave turn on for no reason in the kitchen area.
Really?
Yeah. I walked by, I went to the bathroom, which was just down the hall. And when I came out, the carousel is going around and the microwave is on.
Was there anything in the microwave?
Nothing.
Did you look or did you just run?
I just kind of like, what the hell's going on here? You know, just another thing to add to the list.
Yeah. You go in there, there'd be like a message on a piece of paper that's kind of burning. That would be.
Oh, I thought you were thinking like a human head or something like that.
You're going to go in there, you're going to find like just a hand and you can't identify what it's from or who it's from. And then you like, you got to call the police and it's gone. There you go.
Yeah.
That could be a good story for there. Turns out just carbon monoxide at the end of the day.
Yeah, right.
That's all it is. Let's go to a ghost story. Hi. I'm
a twin, basically. So me and my sister, we have seen and heard things throughout our entire lives. My sister, she sees ghosts, and then I only have only heard them. So my story is going to be about what I heard. I dated someone a few years back, and he lived in a house in the middle of the woods in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And he didn't tell me, he didn't preface this house with anything. He didn't tell me anything that had gone on. And so the first time that I visited this house, I felt very, very, very scared and very uneasy. And I didn't know why. I've had experiences prior to this experience, so with ghosts, and I just felt it. I felt those chills. I felt like I was scared. Anyways, long story short, we went to bed, and he lived in the basement of the house, and it was about three stories was this house, and then we went to sleep, and in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I didn't know why I woke up. I just woke up. And I started hearing like a little girl and a little boy, and I could hear running up and down the stairs to the basement. I kept hearing this running, and I was immediately paralyzed, frozen in fear. I could not move. I was so scared. I just kept hearing running up and down the stairs, and I was so startled by it. Like I said, I couldn't move. I couldn't even wake him up to be like, oh, I'm freaking out right now. But anyway, so then they ran to the window. They kept running from the window to the bottom of the stairs to the opening of where the room was, because our door was open. And they kept running back and forth, and they were laughing. And I could just hear, and it was definitely clearly a little girl and a little boy. And then I just remember all of a sudden I was just washed over with this feeling of being okay, but I was also washed over with this feeling of like, I don't know, it was just so supernatural. It was like I could feel the universe, which it sounds crazy. I'm not a crazy person, but like it was really weird. And so I woke up the next morning. It was like that happened, and immediately I woke up. That's all I can like recall. And I shook him awake, and I was like, I definitely heard a little boy and a little girl last night. I don't know if I'm crazy, but I definitely think this house is haunted. And he literally looks at me and he goes, give me one second. And I was like, what? And he walks upstairs, and I could hear everything. Cause it was the kind of house where it was so big, you could hear everything. And he literally goes upstairs, and he talks to his mom, and he's like, Marissa saw the boy and the girl. And his mom, her response was, oh, my God, I see them all the time. And I'm like, are you here? No one told me this. And he's like, yeah, my mom, she sees him all the time. He came backstairs and he told me this, or back downstairs and he told me this. And he was like, yeah, she sees him all the time. Yeah, my grandma died in this house, so we see her too sometimes. It's all good. I don't think ghosts bother me. Like, he's never seen anything. He's like, they never talked to me, so I just never believed it. But if you saw him, yeah, that makes sense. Long story even shorter. A couple weeks later, he texted me with some pictures, and there was like this little crevice in his room that was boarded up, and he never paid attention to it. He just kept his stuff in front of it, but he decided one day that he was going to open it up, and it was like this crawl space in his room in the basement, which makes no sense why there was, it was on the floor. It wasn't like an attic or anything, and it wasn't a basement. It was this little crawl space attached to his wall that, and he opened it up. And I think it was an accident that he opened it up. He's like moving stuff, and then it just opened, and there was all these old paintings, like all these old, old, old paintings and old newspaper articles from like 80 years ago. It was so weird. And he texted me all the pictures, and he was like, look at what I found. And yeah, basically it was just a very, very haunted apartment. So yeah, or haunted house, sorry, not apartment. But yeah, that's my story. Thanks so much. Bye.
Seems very like, you know, it's what happened. Very nonchalant about the ghost. Just kind of like, this is part of life. It's funny how some can be like that and some can be so horribly terrified.
Yeah, and I always like the stories where people find little cubby holes in their house that they didn't know was there, or didn't think twice about it. But I've seen a lot of stories about where like people have found full rooms and stuff like that behind a wall or behind what they thought was a chimney and stuff like that. And it's like sometimes you just wonder why rooms got boarded up and what really went on in there. Why did people feel like they had to put a drywall over the top of it?
Is that, and people dig holes too, in especially further back in time, where people would bury things in their yards. Have you been following at all, or have heard any of the latest in the Dennis Rader BTK case?
Yeah. But what's going on with that now?
My God, it's like there's chapter three. So he's been in prison for, you know, at least about 15 years or so. Since he was caught and arrested and admitted to the 10 murders. But there's been speculation forever, like, was he involved in others? Because there were several that were unsolved cold cases from the 1970s, 80s, and 90s in that general part of the country. Some of them looked very much like him. Some, there was an element that was not quite him. And he was pretty meticulous and pretty much did the same thing in everything that we know about. But there is one now. There's two that he's the prime suspect in, according to authorities. One that looks very promising, like it actually is him. It was 1976. It was a girl at a laundromat in Oklahoma where he was doing work as an ADT in salesman and installer. Go figure.
Are you serious?
No. Actually, yes, I am. I am serious. But he was working in that area. He was looking out his window. He wrote in his book, he was trying to write a book back then, or it's a diary. I don't know what the hell it is, but it's in evidence. And in his evidence, in this book that he was penning, he talks about, kind of in code, about having this fantasy of watching a girl in the laundromat across the street, going over there, creating a ruse, getting her in his car, and then driving away and buying, torturing, and killing her. It was just in the book as a reference. They reopened the case, and the sheriff down there decided to go visit Dennis in prison. And before even telling him that, you know, why they were looking at him or why the case was open, because a lot of people have visited him over the years, law enforcement, and he's always been very cooperative with everybody. Dennis is 78 now and starting to not be in the greatest of health. What happened when the sheriff went and visited him is Dennis started talking about one of his fantasies, and he talked about that one specifically.
Oh, goodness.
And that sheriff was there to talk about a case that resembled that exact fantasy. I think Dennis knew that it was time that the police were finally honing in on this one. And that's why he made this little story of, oh, this was just a fantasy. And then they dug a little deeper into his writings. And then it matches up to that same place in time where he wrote it, where the girl went missing. And it was a laundromat. And it was exactly what he described.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, you think back, you said that was in the 70s, right? Yeah. I mean, there were some really scary things going on during our country, you know, in our country and some of these cities and towns and neighborhoods and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Stories that never got solved.
No, there's tons.
And it wasn't that long ago.
No. I was talking with a guest on my other show, Hidden Killers, today, who's a therapist. And I was talking and just asking, like, how many Dennis Raiders are there out there, you know, or people that committed a bunch of heinous crimes, got away with it, and then kind of slipped into older age and obscurity and have families and their grandpa to somebody. And no one is the wiser because there's, you know, there wasn't DNA matching and all the things that we have today to hone in on these people so quickly. I mean, unless there's a match and there was DNA that was saved from some of those crimes back then, many of these will never be solved. But we are starting to see some of those happen exactly like that. Somebody at Christmas got the 23andMe or whatever. The DNA gets into the system. And there's a little bit of DNA maybe that was left in some of these cases. And now they're throwing that into the CODIS system just to see, do we get a match with anything? And suddenly it's like, you know, Herbert Rover from Vancouver. And, you know, he's like the, you know, the head of his church or something, like Dennis Rader was. And it turns out they're, you know, absolutely horrible monsters that are just living in society amongst us. I'd imagine there's quite a few of them, quite honestly.
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are. And that's the kind of stuff I don't like. Ghosts and stuff can be freaky, but I don't lay awake worrying about a ghost. Humans scare the hell out of me.
I'm more afraid of them, definitely. I'd rather see a ghost than have an encounter with a human that was trying to get into my home or something of that
right,
nature.
Right, right.
But no, it's certainly interesting. Anyway, the point of the BTK story was the hole. So they went out to his yard where it was in Park City, Kansas, just outside of Wichita. And it's been a vacant lot for years. They tore the house down 15 years ago. And it's just a vacant lot in the middle of a neighborhood. It's been sitting there forever. They talked to Carrie, his daughter, and Carrie's been wonderful working with police. She's been a victim advocate forever about being a family member who had, you know, found out her father was BTK. And she gave them some tips on where to look, of where his shed was. And they started unearthing the ground and they found a little compartmentalized space. I don't want to call it a room, but it was a space underground that was encompassed by wood and shingles to prevent weathering as best he could. And in there, they've found a lot of evidence. They're not saying everything that they found, but they found pantyhose that were tied in a knot, you know, as a restraint type thing. And now they're going to try and go through all that to see if they can connect any of that to maybe some of these unsolved cases. Because he'd always keep these little trophies, and he always called it his hidey holes is what he would say. Isn't that cute? Hidey holes. But normally they were around the house where he could access them, because a lot of these horrible people, they go back to their crime and they go back to these objects they take and they get sexual gratification out of them. This was different because this was buried deep below the ground. It wasn't easily accessible even when Dennis Rader lived there. So why he created this weird time capsule is beyond me. And why they never figured it out when they tore the house down. They didn't, I guess, excavate very well or very much. Maybe they weren't looking for anything. I'm surprised it's now taken, you know, another 15 years to find this on the property, but they didn't seem to know to look. But just very dark, very creepy, and another third chapter to that whole story.
That is just crazy that it's still going on.
I know. Absolutely. Absolutely insane. We are following it over on the other podcast, True Crime Today and Hidden Killers, if you want to follow that real-life horror story of Dennis Rader. If you like this podcast, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download it so you don't miss any breaking episodes or I'm talking a news term, breaking news, so you don't miss any of our stories. Get access to our archive and the bonus episodes as well. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories, or on Apple Podcasts on our premium channel. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.